Welcome to the Perfect Life Awakening Show, hosted by Royce Morales. Royce has been a transformational facilitator, teaching groundbreaking, spiritually based courses for more than four decades. She is the author of three books about her teachings. Join Royce as she takes you on a journey into how to live your best life and find your true purpose through discovering the origins of subconscious, disempowering notions, and releasing them. She talks with experts and inspiring people just like you who learned to trust their intuitive inner wisdom, which led to life-changing shifts. Today, her guests live an empowered existence and are helping change the world to a higher consciousness place based on truth and love. You deserve to awaken to, align with, and embody your true self and live a life filled with love. Transform yourself from triggered to empowered and create your perfect life. Here is your host, Royce Morales. Om Times TV. Imagine becoming a super influencer. Reinvent yourself, invest in your brand, and then manifest your success with a robust spheric approach. Om Times Media and Broadcasting offers a unique and multifaceted way to become the spiritual and conscious influencer you deserve to be by putting your message across our powerful platform with its proven record of integrity and excellence. Through our produced shows, Om Times offers the opportunity to become a social media TV personality, a radio show host, an Om Times magazine columnist, and a syndicated podcaster, all in one shot. By live streaming your show on Om Times TV and broadcasting it across the extensive Om Times radio and TV networks, you become more than a host. You become an ambassador and a force for positive change. Om Times. Open yourself to the possibilities. Transform your life from triggered to empowered with the Perfect Life Awakening program. Royce Morales's extraordinary, enlightening, spiritually based teachings that get to the core of subconscious underlying motivations driving your life. With more than four decades as a transformational facilitator and author, Royce Morales offers ways to awaken your deserving, authentic existence, free from paralyzing issues, repetitive patterns, and programmed fears, while simultaneously awakening your spiritually aware, higher consciousness, purposeful self. Perfect Life Awakening offers remote group classes and one-on-one sessions to explore even deeper levels. Check out Royce Morales' books, Want, True Love, Past Lives, and Other Complications, Know, A Spiritual Wake-Up Call, and Back, Rebirth After Stroke. Learn more about Perfect Life Awakening and Royce Morales. Visit RoyceMorales.com.
There are 16 million children struggling with hunger in America. That's one in five daughters, sons, neighbors, and classmates who don't know where their next meal is coming from. Yet billions of pounds of good food go to waste every year. It's time we do something about it. Feeding America is a nationwide network of food banks that helps provide meals to millions of kids and families in need. Visit feedingamerica.org to help them feed even more. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're feeding America.
Aha. Oh, technology, I just love it. There's always something, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is, we're here. And Royce, thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, you're very welcome. Let me introduce you. This is Mark Anthony, and he is also referred to as JD, the psychic.
Well, the JD is my Juris Doctor degree. So I'm JD, which is the equivalent of a PhD. So I'm Mark Anthony, JD, psychic explorer, and I'm also known as the psychic lawyer because of that. So that's why.
We're going to have to find out all about the psychic lawyer because that is so intriguing. In fact, I posted it on all my social media and one of the people responded and said, that sounds like an oxymoron. So we'll have to find out about that oxymoron and how that came to be. Anyway, Mark is an Oxford educated attorney licensed to practice law all over the place, Florida, Washington, and even in front of the Supreme Court. He travels to various mystical locations in remote corners of the world and, I guess, studies all these fascinating phenomena. He's the author of three best-selling and award-winning books. And his latest, which he's going to talk a lot about, I hope, is the Afterlife Frequency, which was actually up for a Pulitzer Prize, which is just phenomenal. So exciting. The other best-selling books are Never Letting Go and Evidence of Eternity. And he's also a columnist. I don't know how he has time to do anything with all these things he's doing. He's on TV, he's on radio, he's everywhere. So welcome, Mark, as we start this without any further technological problems. I just wanted to say to the people watching and listening, I was actually, what you do is very relatable to me. Let's just put it that way. I was trained to be a medium. It's not something I was born with. At least I wasn't consciously born with it. It's something that I thought was, you know, just too weird for me to have. But I look back on my life and I realized that I probably was doing mediumship and channeling and psychic stuff my entire life, but I just didn't want to admit it. So I was trained to do that. And I just kind of let that go and went in a different direction, but I'm sure it's still part of me. It comes out once in a while. So you were born with this gift. Why did you not fight it? Why did you not go through what I went through?
Well, both my parents had these abilities. It's a genetic trait that runs in the family for at least four generations. That's as far back as I could track it on both sides of the family. And my dad, his family hailed from Pennsylvania, and they were very WASPy, conservative, Northern Baptist. And my father had four siblings, three sisters and a brother. And one of his sisters, Marjorie, was also a medium like he was, as was their mother, Isabel, and their maternal grandmother, Grace. Wow. Well, my dad ended up going into the Navy and was a Navy SEAL, and after the Navy, an aerospace engineer. My mom's family hailed from Italy. In fact, her father was born in Italy, and my maternal great-grandmother, my mother's grandmother, Giovanna, was very honored and revered in the Italian-American community of North Jersey and New York City. She was known as the woman who knows things. And it's really cool, Royce, is that this PBS did a special called The Italian-Americans, and it was a four-hour, two-night special, 2 hours each night. And they actually did an entire segment on my maternal great-grandmother, Giovanna, and they referenced her psychic abilities. And it was really great because I remember when it was on and, you know, all my cousins were calling each other and on the commercial breaks, like, did you see that? You know, and it was really, really an honor for that to be featured in such a serious documentary about the struggles that Italian immigrants had. And so when my dad got out of the Navy, here he is, he's a 22-year-old, you know, full of himself, sailor, and he said he was at this dance. It was like a USO dance. And he said, I saw this foxy-looking dame. He was talking about my mom. And my mother worked at a high-end retail department store, and mom said, well, I got all the best clothes, all the designer stuff wholesale. And so my dad thought she was like 30 years old. She was all dolled up. She was only 20. She was 20 years old. And so they were dancing. And my parents told me that right away there was this connection. And this, you know, and of course, you know, young people, but this wasn't a just a physical connection. Mom said there was something else. And after a couple dates, she said to my father, she said, there's something I have to tell you. And she said, this is going to sound really weird, but I see spirits. And then my dad responded with a slew of colorful metaphors that only a sailor could say, and basically said, I do too. And so they realized that the connection was a lot more intense. And so I come along. And I was their third and last child, and they had me a bit later in life. And when I was about three and a half, I started seeing spirits. And mom, and I remember mom's reaction was, he's got it. And dad's reaction was like, oh, geez, he's got it.
Wow. So you never went through feeling weird or, you know, I know in my life I tried to be as normal as possible. I mean, that was my entire intention, to make sure that nobody thought I was weird. So you never went through that as a child?
Well, not at home. Dad told me, only talk about it to your mother and I. People outside of our family won't understand. And the thing is, when I was getting ready to go to school, I started first grade when I was five, and I was going to Catholic school. And my dad sat me down and says, Mark, do not talk about this to anyone but your mother and I, because people who see things others don't get taken away. Now, this scared me. And then and then I found out later in life what had happened, Royce, was his sister Marjorie, and I never met Marjorie in this world. I've seen her her spirit quite a bit, and I write about Marjorie in both my books, Evidence of Eternity and In the Afterlife Frequency. I write about her in two of my three books. And what had happened with Marjorie is she was married to this religious zealot. And I'm being kind there. I think fanatic would be a better term. And this is about 20 years before I was born. And he was going to work one day, and he was a machinist, and he worked at this steel factory in Pennsylvania. So he's getting ready to go to work, and Marjorie begs him not to go. And she says, something terrible is going to happen. I feel it. And she was holding like the pit of her stomach. And they got into a big argument, and she was crying, and he said, fine, I'll stay home. Well, that day, a crane was lifting thousands of pounds of steel beams, and all of a sudden, the cable snapped, and the beams crushed the machine shop that he worked in, killing everybody in it. And so you would think, you know, you would think he would be the least bit grateful. Instead, he started feeling that these were satanic and diabolical forces at work. And Royce, he conspired with an unethical psychiatrist who diagnosed my Aunt Marjorie as a paranoid schizophrenic. They forcibly removed her from her home. They put her in a straitjacket. My dad said he remembers seeing this, and my mom did too. And it was like during the summer when the whole family was together, and this is when he springs this on her. And she was taken to an institution and subjected to electroshock therapy for a period of 6 months. And they did so much damage to her brain that my Aunt Marjorie never talked about spirits or foretelling future events ever again. And when I got older, I found out about all this. And I remember talking to my dad, and he said, well, that's why I was so frightened for you.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't want anything like that happening to you. So at home, everything was cool. But everybody in the neighborhood kind of knew that our family was a bit different. You know, it's like I get a big kick when I watch like that old show, like the Addams Family and stuff like that, because I always related to them a lot more than I did the Brady Bunch. You
know? Yes. Yeah, me too. Yes, definitely. I hope you've seen the new episodes called Wednesday. They're just great.
Oh, my God. I loved it. I did a total binge watch on Wednesday over a weekend, like 2 months ago.
Yeah. It was amazing. Well, that is just heartbreaking to hear that story. That really is. So, oh, my gosh. So how do you feel about, you know, I teach spirituality and inner development, and I always tell people that everybody has psychic and intuitive abilities per se. It's just a matter of trusting them and accepting them and maybe developing them a little bit. How do you feel about that? Does everybody have that?
I do. And, I do believe that. And in my book, The Afterlife Frequency, which, you know, and I have to, you know, we're on Ohm Times Radio, Ohm Times YouTube. And I found out yesterday that The Afterlife Frequency was nominated for Best Metaphysical Book of the Year in the OMIs, you know, the OMI Awards. And I was also nominated as Best Medium, and I'm very, very honored. And I'm asking for everyone's support and your vote. And And please visit my website, afterlifefrequency.com, just like my book, Afterlife Frequency, and you'll see how to cast a vote for that. And but you know, I want to thank everyone. I'm very honored. It's very humbling to see how my words have touched so many people around the world, and my work as a medium. And you know, people think that having mediumistic ability, you know, people joke about it, like, oh, like you're Harry Potter or this or that. And that's not the case. It is a great responsibility. It certainly doesn't make one all-knowing or all-seeing. And what I write about in the Afterlife Frequency, or one of the many things, is how everybody is capable of having a psychic or mediumistic experience, whether or not they're necessarily a psychic or a medium. In other words, everybody can swim, but that doesn't mean, you know, everyone's going to win gold medals in the right. Olympics. Yeah, you know, we can all, you know, knock a few tennis balls around on a court, but you know, that doesn't mean you're going to go to Wimbledon. But the thing is, everybody has the same basic physiology, and so the Afterlife Frequency explains the scientific basis for spirit communication. And I was in my office here, and I was trying to figure out, how do I explain, Royce, how do I explain to people who aren't mediums how they can have a mediumistic, an intuitive, a psychic experience? And I hit that dreaded writer's block. You're laughing because you're a writer and you know that. You know, yes. And isn't it, Royce, doesn't it always happen on the day that you scheduled the whole day just to work on it? You
know, of course.
It's like whenever I don't have any time and I have appointments coming up, I start getting ideas. So here I am and nada, nothing. So I thought, all right, fine. I'm going to go for a walk. I live near the ocean. I figured I'll walk on the beach. That always gives me that you know, peace and comfort. So I'm heading down my driveway, and all of a sudden cold chills and tingles begin to resonate through me. Now, that's why a lot of people think spirit communication is scary, because that's right. The same physiological sensation in the fight or flight response.
Right.
But once you start working with it, I knew, okay, something's happening. I got directed away from the beach toward this bike path near my house. So I figured, all right, I'm walking down the bike path. It's around 11 in the morning, and I look down, and I see these two objects shining in the light. So I walk over to them, and it's a nickel and a penny. And I hear my mom's voice. Both my parents are in spirit. And the Italian side of the family has a superstition for all occasions. And I hear her saying, if it's heads down, it's bad luck.
Oh, wow.
And I hear dad's voice saying, it's money, grab it. And so I'm laughing, And I'm holding this nickel and this penny in my hand. And I look at it and I go, oh, 6 cents. Then I go, 6 cents. And I go, all right, mom and dad, what are you trying to tell me? Now the cold chills intensify, and I see an image of my father standing in the ocean up to his waist, holding this blue canvas raft that we had when I was a kid, and you know, we, you know, surf waves on it and all that. And my dad was also a swimming instructor, so I'm like, raft. And then I hear my parents' voices in unison: Mark, teach people to recognize signs from spirits. Accept the contact is real. Feel it. Don't overthink it. Trust the message. R-A-F-T. Raft. Wow. So, and I ran back to my office. Writer's block totally gone. The words just start flying out of me. And that is how I developed the raft technique. And I teach people how to recognize, accept, feel, and trust signs from spirits. Oh, and the really beautiful part of how that came to be is my parents' spirits actually walked me through each of those stages. Because when I was on the bike path, you know, and I was feeling the cold chills and tingles, I recognized signs from spirits and I saw the coins. I accepted the contact as real. It's the third step, the feel part, feel without overthinking. This is where most people will torpedo the experience. They're going to, oh, this is a coincidence. This is wishful thinking. I'm making it up. It's my imagination. It's a grief-induced hallucination. That's where people fizzle out. But once you start working with raft and you feel the message and you don't overthink it, then that leads you to the fourth step, which is trust the veracity, the truth, that is, of the message. Now, I want to talk just a moment about trust. We live in a crazy world. It always has been. It's just that now humans have developed weapons that can eradicate life as we know it on this planet. And messages from spirits, which are interconnected, they're part of what I call the collective consciousness. All souls are interconnected energetically, connected other spirits, connect other spirits. Dare I say, it's all part of the divine power we call God. Well, messages from the divine, messages from spirits are never about anger, bigotry, hatred, or violence. That's an extension of the human ego, edging God out, ego. But messages from the divine and from spirits are about peace, love, healing, resolution, and protection. And so that's a very important distinction, because we see all these crazy people around the world, in this country and other places, saying, oh, the divine told me to fly an airplane into a building, or to blow up a place filled with children, or to go shoot people, or to do all these horrific things that have nothing to do with spirituality or God. Since I'm on my platform, it really annoys me when I see mainstream media refer to these terrorists, and they refer to their spiritual advisors. Okay, the people in these religions, and they're right across the board, are not spiritual. They're religious. And there's a big difference between spirituality and religion. I am a proponent of religions. Why? Because all of the great avatars, Jesus, Buddha, Lao Tzu, Confucius, Muhammad, all of the great spiritual teachers taught peace and love and understanding. The problem is God exists in spite of religion, not because of it. Religion was created by men for men to keep men in power and subjugate women. So I don't want to get too much off into that, but people need to realize that you can have a connection with the divine, because energetically we are all interconnected, and messages from the divine are about peace, love, compassion, protection, and healing.
I have to ask you something. It keeps coming to my mind, so I'm going to trust it. When I first started to explore spirituality, I was dating a lot of guys, and there was part of me that so much wanted a particular guy to be the one. And so I would ask the universe for signs, and I would get signs, but there were things like, oh, I saw a license plate and it said, you know, some word that I construed in my brain to be a sign that he was the one. Now, what do you say to people that do that? Because they obviously are not signs. They're things that I was making into a sign. What do you say about that to people?
In the interpretation of messages, it has to be spontaneous and without overthinking. Mm-hmm. And that gets to the third step of RAP. Recognize the sign, accept it, feel it without overthinking, because there are many people who want something to be, I want this person to love me. Now, why is that? Is that person, do you guys feel that proper connection? In a lot of people, I was a prosecutor, a criminal defense, personal injury lawyer. And I always show in some of my lectures, I show, you know, they had this, this was displayed at the beginning of the show. They show someone doing meditation, and the chakras, and the red chakra, which is associated in the, you know, groin area. A lot of people think a connection of the red chakra is love. Okay. So in other words, a lot of people confuse physical attraction, lust, with love. And boy, that usually goes very poorly. A true connection is on several levels. You've got to be attracted to someone emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually. And so many times if people see someone that, oh man, she is so hot, or he is so handsome, or whatever, and you start to attribute traits to them that they don't necessarily possess, because your thoughts and your better judgment is being clouded by lower level impulses, shall right. we call them.
Yes. Yeah. So the elephant in the room is, there you are, you're this psychic, amazing, intuitive, aware person. What made you decide to become a lawyer? What, how does that fit with all that?
Yeah, it's you know, people always think that lawyers are vampiric beings that suck the life out of, and you know what? Some of them are because the legal profession, a lot of very aggressive and assertive people are attracted to it, because it's a, you know, it's a law about power, control, domination, when it should be about truth and justice and the balance in the world, the balance in our society. But as a teenager, I was seriously considering the clergy, and it's not unusual for mediums to be drawn toward the clergy, but then I started feeling that that was going to be too restrictive, so I decided to go into law instead. But the thing about law is, what I enjoyed about it is it literally puts you in everything. It reminds me of that, what was that Al Pacino movie, The Devil's Advocate? Oh, and Canal Reeves was a young lawyer who works for this law firm, and then he realizes that Al Pacino, the senior partner, is actually Satan. You know, and it's like, yeah, that did lawyers a really good PR job. But Canal Reeves says, why the law? And Al Pacino, because it puts us in everything. and if you think about it, what aspect of our lives doesn't have some form of regulation? And a lot of people say, yeah, that's terrible. But is it? If you drink water from the tap that is safe to drink, that's because of government regulation. If you eat food that is safe to drink, if you get on an airplane that is safe to fly, in other words, a lot of it's good. I think most of it's good, not all of it. But what I liked about law is that it enabled me to study a wide array of disciplines. I had to deal with chemists, biologists, neuropsychologists, medical doctors, things with forensics, accident reconstruction. And I'm interested in so many different things, and I would have to learn about all these things. And then in my writing, you know, because of all that, I have a background in physics and biochemistry and spirituality, the workings of the human brain, because I used to practice head injury litigation. And so that's what I liked about it. Now, the thing, when people say, and you brought this up earlier, an oxymoron, being a lawyer and a psychic medium, both jobs involve helping people, because as a lawyer, I've helped people through some of the most horrific things, you know, accidents, wrongful deaths, being victimized, being arrested. As a medium, I help people cope with the loss of loved ones. And that is the worst thing that can happen to anybody, emotionally, physically, spiritually, mentally, financially, is losing a loved one. And I do that by facilitating a connection between the loved ones here and their loved ones in spirit. But also, both jobs are about evidence. A lawyer has to have evidence to substantiate his or her position. And that's why I'm an evidential medium. In other words, when I do a connection for somebody, I have to bring forth facts and evidence that I could not know either about the spirit or about the recipient to verify the quality and the authenticity of the contact. So that's how I see both are related. And I'm focusing strictly on my spiritual work now, because a lot of people are like, well, I want you to be my lawyer. It's like, no, I appear on shows as a legal analyst, and I'm kind of the go-to guy in the media when the paranormal and the legal systems collide, which actually happens more than you might think. The focus of my life now is helping people understand that God exists, that the afterlife exists, that our soul is an immortal living spirit, that we can communicate with souls and that we will be reunited with our loved ones when it is our time to leave this material world.
So the other elephant in the room, I would assume that people might be thinking, is have you ever used your psychic abilities in a case? Have you ever combined the two in some way?
Well, it's part of my skill set of who I am as a person, but certainly it would come up. And when I was practicing law, especially when I was a prosecutor, when you're a young prosecutor, you get, I can call it a sign, but let's say you get stuck with weekend duty where you got to go to the jail because when people get arrested, they have to be brought before a judge within 24 hours of the arrest. So the judge can determine whether or not this person should be detained or, you know, bail or whatever. And so I'd be there usually with another prosecutor, and then there'd be defense counsel, usually somebody from the public defender's office. And they'd bring the people in, and I'd look at them and go, that one was arrested for drugs, that one drunk driving, that one looked at spouse beer, that one. And my co-counsel says, you haven't even looked at the police reports yet. And he or she'd be going, how do you know this? And so it kind of got to be this thing like, let's see if Mark can figure out what they're charged with before we show him the arrest report. And also I found my intuitive psychic abilities extremely useful during jury selection. Mm. And jury selection is the part of the trial where evidence hasn't started yet, but both sides, both the prosecution and the defense, or if it's a civil case, the plaintiffs and the defense, are able to ask the people on the prospective jury panel questions to narrow it down to where you get, in most cases, six jurors with one alternate. And the point of jury selection is to determine if any of the potential jurors has any biases or prejudices, which would, you know, alter their fairness in the case. So there is this one case I was representing. I was defending this guy. It was a barroom brawl. So my client was a big bruiser, and he got into a duke out with another big bruiser, and my client beat the daylights out of the other guy. So the loser filed charges, okay? But it's still a crime of violence. So the prosecutor is asking questions of the prospective jurors, and then the judge says, well, now it's your turn to ask questions. And then, you know, at the end of all that, we you know, ask certain people to be excused, so you narrow it down. And I kept getting drawn to this one woman on the jury, and I kept feeling this tightness around my throat, and I kept sensing a female spirit around her. And it's like, okay, this does not need to be happening right now, because normally I can turn it off, but this time it was really getting me. And so I stood up, and I wasn't out of law school that long. It was like maybe a year, year and a half. And I started with, has anyone here or someone in your family ever been a victim of a violent crime?
Oh, wow.
All right, so the woman, her hand shaking, it goes up, the tears shoot out of her eyes. And she said, a year ago, my sister was in a foreign country when an escaped mental patient strangled her and dismembered her body and threw her in a garbage dump. And I'm standing there, and it's like you could hear a pin drop, and except for my client going, dude, what are you doing? And they didn't teach me in law school how to deal with this one. And now I'm seeing her sister, the image of her, and I'm feeling the tightening around my throat. Now I'm understanding what I was experiencing, that sensation. And literally, I had a foot in this world and on the other side. And if the listeners want to find out what happens, you're going to have to get my first book, Never Letting Go.
Oh, what a plug.
But that's how I write my books, including The Afterlife Frequency. I write them like they're juicy novels. Because the thing is, yes, The Afterlife Frequency is the scientific proof of spiritual contact and how that awareness will change your life. I don't want people thinking that they're going to be reading an algebra textbook, because I suffered through enough boring books in law school and boring legal opinions in the practice of law. People need to be educated about this particular topic, and it needs to be explained in a way you want to read it. And let's face it, I mean, we're dealing with really intense situations. Sometimes things spirits bring through are hysterically funny. Sometimes they're not. But every, you know, every human being matters. Every human being counts. And everybody on this planet, at one point in his or her life, they're going to experience loss. And it needs to be treated with reverence and respect.
Yeah. So theoretically, what would happen if you are representing somebody, or like you said, determining a jury, if you suddenly felt like, wow, this person is lying? I mean, what do you do with that kind of stuff?
Well, let me tell you, for anyone that wants to go into the practice of law, if you're worried that you can't represent someone who lies to you, then don't do it, because people lie to you all the time. And my job when I was practicing law was not to sit in judgment of somebody else. My job was not about determining their guilt or innocence. My job was about making sure that their constitutional rights were protected, that the police didn't violate them, that the prosecutors didn't violate them. And, if people have the right to remain silent. So if you know that your client is going to take the witness stand and lie, commit perjury, then you don't put your client on the witness stand. You know, it's a lot of like being deposed. And during the deposition, all you say is, I'm going to take the Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. And why is that? That's because you may say something which is going to incriminate you, meaning you've committed a crime. So, right. So that's what a lawyer's job is, to protect the client's right. It doesn't mean that we endorse drug usage or murder or criminal behavior of any sort. Our responsibility is to protect the Constitution and how it applies to the client.
Mm-hmm. So how does what you do, and maybe even in your profession, how does predicting the future, where does that fall into play with you?
Well, I'm not a fortune teller. I'm a medium. And so I don't, you know, because people say, well, what's going to happen to me? It's like, I don't know. But during a reading, if a spirit conveys to you something, like one of my key, my signature theories in the afterlife frequency is the electromagnetic soul. And what I mean by that, and I'm going to answer your question, just bear with me for a minute. We know from the laws of physics, energy is neither created nor destroyed, only transferred from one form to another. We know that the brain has, even though the brain only composes about, 3%, maybe 4% of the body's weight, it uses over 20% of the electromagnetic energy in the body, and it has the most sophisticated electrical field. But the brain did not create consciousness. The brain is like a hard drive that merely hosts it. And we know from every great spiritual teacher, from ancient India through Zoroaster, Moses, Buddha, Jesus, Muhammad, Confucius, Lao Tzu, Gandhi, Mother Teresa, I mean, all the way up to the present day, that the soul, the spirit, pre-exists the body, comes into the body, and then leaves the body when the body dies. And we know from science that everything's made of molecules, which in turn are composed of atoms, which in turn are comprised of electrons, protons, and neutrons, which in turn are composed of the smallest particle of electromagnetic energy known as a quantum. Now, I have to say this for our science people, an electron is technically a quantum because it's 1/1800th the size of a proton. So now we got all the science people happy. So on the subatomic electromagnetic level, Royce, everything in our material world is the same form of energy. That means you, me, the air we're breathing, the radio waves that this program is being broadcast on, the surface of Mars, the rings of Saturn, okay, all of these are on the same basic level, the same form of energy that just vibrates at different frequencies. And Albert Einstein, as part of his theory of relativity, indicated, and this is still the belief all the way up to today, that on the subatomic electromagnetic level, time as we know it does not exist. Ergo, that's why I developed the term the electromagnetic soul to describe what we really are, which is pure consciousness, a spirit, a soul that is eternal electromagnetic energy. Now, so I'm doing a reading for this woman, and her mother's spirit comes through and begins to talk to me about this woman's nephew, her 7-year-old nephew. And he's alive and well. And I said, your mom's spirit says that her grandson, your nephew, his eyes, there's a problem with his eyes and eyesight, and you got to get him to the eye doctor. And she said, well, I'm very close to my nephew and my sister. And my sister said, my nephew was complaining about his eyes. I said, well, you got to get him into the eye doctor. And now I'm hearing the song by Little Richard, Tutti Frutti Ah Rudy. And I'm singing Tutti Frutti Ah Rudy. She goes, well, that doesn't make any sense at all. She goes, yeah, I know the song, but I'm, you know, we're not fans. I said, well, this is what's being given to me. A month later, I get an email. Mark, my sister and I took my nephew to the eye doctor. And the second we walked into the doctor's office on the radio, it starts playing Tutti Frutti Ah Rudy by Little Richard.
Wow.
Now, here's the electromagnetic soul theory in action. The mother, the grandmother spirit, she knew that her grandson needed to go to the eye doctor. Okay. So recognize, accept, feel, trust. The my client made sure that they took the little boy there. And the second that they walked into the doctor's office, the electromagnetic soul of her mother was able to understand what you and I call the future and to say, this is the song that will be playing when they walk in. Mm-hmm. Get this, radio waves are electromagnetic energy. Oh, yeah. One form of EM energy is reading another form of EM energy. And it's more than just that. It was also a verifiable fact that the song Tutti Frutti Ah Rudy was how the spirit was verifying that they had made the correct decision. So it's more than just, well, isn't that neat that this song was playing? And, you know, when skeptics say, oh, well, you know, anyone could have said that. It's like, really? What are the odds of that happening? Wow. And I think we're way past a billion to one. And this is how the electromagnetic soul theory explains spirit communication, seeing future events, near-death experiences, shared-death experiences, deathbed visions. It is the building block for understanding the afterlife and all the various forms of spirit contact.
That's a great explanation of it. That's perfect. Another thing is coming to mind, and I don't know if you've watched this. You probably have. It's called Ancient Aliens Declassified.
Yes.
Wonderful, wonderful show. And they're talking about how aliens have always been with us and that their goal is to create humanity to be more like them. And they've done this by shifting the DNA. And I'm watching this and I'm going, wow, I've known this forever. You know, I've done a lot of deep inner meditation experiences and I've had memories of that sort of thing. How does all of that fit in with what you do and your belief system about all of this?
Well, I think it would be very naive for us to think that we are the supreme pinnacle of intelligence and evolution in not just the universe, but the multiverses.
Yes.
Also, throughout my career, I've come into contact with several of the high-ranking officials in MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network. A friend of mine is Colonel Dr. John Alexander. He's retired U.S. military special forces, and he used to be head of the U.S. Army's UFO project. And so I've heard from high-ranking people in the government that UFOs are real. Okay. And you know, they still want to dance around as to what they are. But it's pretty clear that they're off-world. They're extraterrestrial. And in the course of my career as a medium, I have done readings for, conducted mediumistic readings for people who claim to have been alien abductees. And two of the people, Nancy Tremaine and Calvin Parker, are considered the most credible UFO abductees. Calvin Parker was 19 years old back in the 70s, and he was in Pachagoula, Mississippi, and he and a friend, he goes, we're a couple of rednecks, and we're fishing, and I love talking to Calvin. And he said, all of a sudden, this thing came out of the sky, this big metallic object, and these two robotic things came out of it, and he said, we tried to run, but we couldn't, and they grabbed us, and they took us in, and basically, he said, you know, he felt like a lab rat, and they did all these things to him. Now, what's really fascinating is that he's been subjected to truth serum, hypnotherapy. He's been questioned by the FBI ever since then and always come up without any deception, 100% telling the truth. Lie detectors, all of it. And he said to me, he goes, you don't get rich claiming you got abducted by aliens. He said it was a horrible experience. He said it was terrifying. But the thing is, and the friend that he was with, his friend went on all like Johnny Carson and all these shows, and he's since passed. But I've done readings for other abductees, and it's very similar because their spirits will come through and talk to them about that. So suffice it to say, I keep an open mind.
Good. Okay, good. Yes. Yeah, me too. Again, it was one of those things that, oh no, now I'm seeing aliens. Great. Now I'm really, you know, in that weird zone.
I was at the Edgar Cayce Association for Research Enlightenment at the end of last year, and I was one of the speakers, and all the speakers, we were taking a break, and PMH Atwater was there, and she is just amazing. She's one of the founders of the International Association for Near-Death Studies, and she's almost 90 years old. I think she's like 86 or 87, sweet as a tack, working on her new book, which I just endorsed. I mean, she's brilliant. And she was talking to John Van Auken, who's an amazing guy with the Edgar Cayce Association for Research and Enlightenment. And she's sitting there and she goes, well, I'm working on a new book, and it's about alien abductees who have had near-death experiences. So it's not the typical alien abduction story. And I burst out laughing. And she looks at me and John looks at me. I go, how many people in the world are having this conversation right now that it's not about just regular near-death experiences? It's about people who've been abducted by aliens.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. So tell us a little bit more about the Afterlife Frequency book. I was reading in your bio that it helps people to deal with trauma and issues, PTSD, all of that stuff. How does your book do that?
The Afterlife Frequency helps people cope with grief, with also with post-traumatic stress disorder. There's a number of stories in there about people who've been through horrific things, coping with murder and family members and close friends being murdered, military personnel that have just survived and then are coping with the guilt that, why didn't the rest of my unit survive? Why was I the lone survivor? Because it approaches it from a direct approach, because people have to confront, have to examine this, but it's also with the help of spirits, the person who was killed, the people who survived the military engagement, and their insights and their guidance help people begin to resolve and heal the trauma. I mean, there's more to it than that, but that's part of what the Afterlife Frequency does, because everybody to some extent suffers from post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yes.
Let's say a little child sees their pet die. That's very traumatic. You know, a five-year-old sees, you know, their dog or cat or, you know, their bird or even their fish die. That's traumatic. For anybody in the audience ever seen a loved one die, and a lot of us have, and this causes a form of trauma. So some PTSD may be more severe. Let's say that, you know, you actually see somebody gunned down, or, you know, you've been through a military combat. That's pretty intense, and that may require even more treatment and more consideration. So the afterlife frequency it's not an airy fairy fluffy buffy book, because that's not me. This is scientific proof, but with compassion, and it's an adventure. I mean, this book's going to take you, you know, from the cosmic to the subatomic, around the world, to help you understand the science in support of the afterlife.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you for doing that. That's great. So you mentioned that you give techniques to help people connect with spirits. Besides just learning to trust and the RAF technique, I think is great. Is there anything particular that you could tell people to connect? Because I think when you have that personal experience with a spirit, there's no denying it. You know,
right.
I've had so many and it's like, oh yeah, okay, thank you. But yeah.
Right. Well, that's what you'll get out of from reading the afterlife frequency and the RAF technique. I gave an outline of it, but to fully understand it, and I give some exercises there as well. And one of the most fascinating phenomenon is deathbed visions. Deathbed visions are where somebody is in the process of transitioning. They're dying and they begin to interact with spirits of people they know who've died. And this happened after the afterlife frequency had been released, but it's something I talk about in my lectures. Who doesn't love Betty White? Okay, Betty White, I mean, she was in she was on TV since I think the invention of TV. Yeah, we remember the Golden Girls and Hot in Cleveland, Mary Tyler Moore show. Yes. And she was on a game show back in the 60s, and she met the love of her life, Alan Ludden. Aww. And they were married for something like over 20 years, and she and Alan Ludden were inseparable. And then he died in the 80s. And Betty White, she never remarried. She always said Alan was the love of her life. And sadly, Betty died on New Year's Eve, just before the beginning of 2022. And she was in declining health. She was just like a week or two shy of her 100th birthday. And so she was laying in bed, and actress Vicki Lawrence, Mama's Family and Carol Burnett, her best friend, explained that in her last moments, Betty looked up, smiled, and said, "Alan."
Aww.
Inspired.
Oh. Oh, I've got chills. That's great. My mom was, talk about a skeptic. She was the number one skeptic. Nothing spiritual meant anything to her. She thought I was crazy. And yet on her deathbed, she said to me, "Royce, what is that gold woman in the corner doing in my room?" I said, "Wow, Mom, I think maybe you should trust that and listen to that." And, you know, it was just so funny to me that of all people in the world to have that kind of a visitation or a vision was just such proof, such evidence. Well,
we all do, or we all have the capacity to. And, you know, if we had more time, there's so many more stories I could share with everyone. But, you know, stories illustrate and help us understand these concepts. And that's why in all my books, Never Letting Go, Evidence of Eternity, and The Afterlife Frequency. And I'd like to invite everyone to visit my website, which is afterlifefrequency.com. You'll see in the calendar of events, I'm asking for the honor of your vote for the afterlife frequency. You'll see that in the calendar of events as best metaphysical book. You can also sign up for my newsletter, find out about scheduling a personal session with me, and also keep you up to date. I've got a Light Circle Spirit Communication event online, limited to 6 people, coming up on February 17th. That way, everyone is guaranteed a reading. And so, Royce, I really want to thank you for having me as your guest. It's been such a pleasure.
This is Awesome. Keep up the good work and keep up being an amazing lawyer as well as psychic.
No, I'm not practicing law now. Okay. I mean, I still like to practice, but I appear on shows as a legal analyst. Yes. But the focus of my work now is my spiritual work. And it is the greatest honor. And I thank God every single day for giving me this gift. And I pray that I am worthy to live up to the task. So thank you, Royce. And I want to thank everyone with Om Times Media and everyone for tuning into the show. May God bless you.
Thank you so much, Mark. Thank you all for joining us today. And I look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks where I interview another fascinating human being. Thank you so much.